Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Washington State's Teacher of the Year program recognizes 9 regional finalists and selects 1 State Teacher of the Year annually. This State Teacher of the Year is Washington's nominee for the National Teacher of the Year. Washington's educational service districts each select a regional teacher of the year. The state selection committee chooses one of these regional teachers of the year as the Washington State Teacher of the Year. The committee uses the written application, interviews, and a mock keynote to decide which candidate best exemplifies the teacher of the year criteria. The teacher has respect to their community. The teacher is knowledgeable in their field and guides students of all backgrounds and abilities to achieve excellence. The teacher collaborates with colleagues, students, and families to create a school culture of respect and success. The teacher deliberately connects the classroom and key stakeholders to foster a strong community at large. The teacher demonstrates leadership and innovation in and outside of the classroom walls that embodies lifelong learning, and the teacher expresses themselves in an engaging and effective way. In this episode, I am honored to introduce you to the 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year and the regional winners, and will ask them the following questions. What is your teaching philosophy? Which accomplishment in the classroom are you most proud of? If you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, what would you change? What advice would you give yourself if you could travel back in time and talk to yourself on the first day in the classroom? What is the passion or interest you had on day one that you make sure you still carry with you? How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted your work? What can districts do to better support teachers? And what advice do you have for parents and teachers during this time? Brooke Brown is the 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year and the Regional Teacher of the Year from Puget Sound Educational Service District 121. She teaches English and Ethnic Studies at Washington High School in the Franklin Pierce School District. Brooke, what is your teaching philosophy?
That's a great question. I think like anything, it has evolved over the years, but I think the most important thing when I think about teaching and when I think about my students is what I want to help them to learn or how I want to help them to grow with the time I have with them. And so for me, I think my teaching philosophy would have to be that I bring my whole self to my classroom so my students can feel like they can bring their whole self. And so it means embracing the awkwardness sometimes. I'm a little bit awkward. I'm making jokes that probably aren't so funny, but just really trying to bring my whole self and be vulnerable so that my students are able to do the same. We really talk a lot about in class about compassion and empathy, and we talk about who we want to become, not just what we want to become. I think a lot of times there's a lot of pressure on young people. I teach 12th grade, and so they're feeling the pressure of like, what do they want to be after high school? Because it's coming up. And so for me, I really want to inspire and encourage them to really think about, well, if we focus on the who we want to be, then the what will come. Because if we focus on our character, we focus on cultivating empathy, we focus on developing our unique gifts and talents, then the what becomes easy, because then it just becomes giving that away, giving your gift, your time, your talent to improve our communities and to really show up and serve one another. And so for me, that's really my teaching philosophy is building each other up so that we're able to give our gifts away to serve our community and one another.
I love that. Well, what advice would you give yourself if you could travel back in time and talk to yourself on your first day in the classroom?
This is a funny question because I had a very funny first week of teaching.
Really?
So I've taught 12th grade for all 15 years that I've been an educator. And so my very first day of school, there were some students who decided to switch names. And so I was taking attendance and everyone was just laughing hysterically. And I'm like, what is going on? And my face is turning red. And I'm like, what's happening? And I didn't know what was going on. And then it came out later on and it was all in good fun. And so if I could tell myself, it would be just laugh with them, like just enjoy the moment for what it is, because you're never going to have another first day. And so something that I've really learned how to do, and I would say before the pandemic, but even more so right now, where we're like disaster learning and like so many things are happening is really to not look forward to the weekend and instead to just really enjoy today for what it is, to be intentional, to find joy in the day, in this just sacred moment that we're together. There's never going to be another today. And so really just understanding the weight of that, understanding the specialness of that in that moment. Like I get paid to hang out with our future. Like it's the best job ever. I learn from them so much. I don't take it for granted. The very next day, or it might've been that first week, someone brought a stink bomb into my class and put it in the garbage can. So I could not hold class in my classroom for the rest of the week. So when you talk about first days or first weeks of teaching, I had one. And so when it wasn't funny at the time, but I think looking back, it really showed me that they're kids, right? It's such a wonderful opportunity to get a chance just to be with them and to learn from them. And the less serious we take ourselves, we just show up and enjoy the time and we bring all of our gifts into that space. I mean, the sky's the limit for what we can accomplish together.
Wow. I get to hang out with the future. That is a quote that I'm going to take with me. That's fantastic. Well, how has the COVID pandemic impacted your work?
Every single aspect of my job has been impacted by the pandemic. It's different. I mean, we know students are the most important part of school and we're not in the school building, but I miss being in community with my students and proximity and when we're learning and, you know, just being able to engage and I miss standing at my door and having conversations with students and checking in with one another. And I miss the visits before and after school of students sharing, you know, their joy, what they did over the weekend, the ball game that's coming up. You know, I miss all of those things, all the things that aren't necessarily quote unquote academic school, but all the moments that really make school such a special place, those relationships, all the time together, I miss all of that. And so one of the challenging things is just to keep coming back to our why and really helping students to stay motivated because so many of the things that keep them motivated, they've lost. And so I think really understanding and walking alongside students, I have four of my own children. I have a high schooler, a middle schooler, an elementary school, and a newborn. So I think I check every single box for everyone impacted right now. I see it in my own children. You know, I see how much they miss. So much of our children's identity is tied to school. It's tied to their friends. It's tied to themselves as learners and students. And that has shifted. I mean, my 8-year-old has a fantastic teacher. Shout out to Miss Fitzgerald. She's doing it. I hear her. My daughter works right behind me. But my daughter is like, I don't like this. I want to be at school. And it's not that her teacher isn't doing a fantastic job because she is. She's working hard. She's showing up. But we miss it. We miss the interactions. We miss just the personal connections. And so I think that's what's really hard. I'm a 15-year veteran teacher and I feel like a first-year teacher all over again. And so all of the ways to help with engagement, all of the activities that we have been able to do that worked in person, you have to restructure them. It's not just a putting things online and thinking that it'll work. So it's a complete game changer. You know, you just got to keep showing up with your A game and doing our best. And our students are so flexible and patient. It's pretty incredible.
And that is great advice to educators that you just gave. Brooke Brown is the 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year and the Regional Teacher of the Year from the Puget Sound Educational Service District 121. She teaches English and Ethnic Studies at Washington High School and the Franklin Pierce School District. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ben Ballou is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Northwest Educational Service District 189. He teaches English at Arlington High School in the Arlington School District. Ben, which accomplishment in the classroom are you most proud of?
So with the help of my colleagues in our district office 2 years ago, I helped develop an English class called Literature of Social Justice. It's a senior level English class. And the purpose of this class is to provide students with a safe and prolonged opportunity to study and discuss complex topics like race, racism, gender, and intersectionality. It really goes hand in hand with our school's focus on servant leadership and works to empower students to be anti-racist allies and advocates in our community.
That's fantastic. League of Education Voters is all about supporting anti-racist allies and advocates. If you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, What would you change?
So, you know, risking sounding a bit one note here, I would really encourage districts across the state to make cultural competency and racial literacy a central part of teacher prep programs and professional development for all stakeholders in a district. If we are to better understand the why and how of the inequities that we face, not to mention prioritizing social and emotional learning, especially in a distance learning world, and the well-being of our students, then we really have to have a firm understanding of how institutional racism operates and how it affects our communities.
What could that look like? If you were to design some sort of cultural competency or anti-racist curriculum, what would you like to see it do?
So fortunately for us, there are a lot of programs out there right now. There are programs starting every day, it seems like, and there are some really, really qualified people doing that work right now. So for us, it's really a matter of advocating that our districts reach out to these programs and hire them and bring them in for staff trainings, whether that's the beginning of the school year or whether that's looking like book studies over the course of a year. That's going to be an integral part of teacher prep programs. So ideally, as students and young teachers are entering the workforce, they have that vocabulary already in place and they can become teacher leaders in their own buildings, even at a young age.
So how has the COVID pandemic impacted your work?
In every possible way. For me personally, it's really helped me to be more honest with myself and with my students and colleagues. I think I'm more aware of what my students are going through, what their home like is life, and how that actually impacts the classroom. I think I'm also starting to understand more and more how some of the traditional events and milestones that we, you know, we have in high school, graduation, you know, the first dance, you know, even sporting events, how essential those are to the experience of school for so many students. So things like club meetings, athletic events, robotic competitions, all those extracurricular events, I'm really starting to understand how much that helps students and staff members process and contextualize the full school year. And without those things right now, we're feeling a little bit lost.
Yeah, it builds the community around learning, and that makes so much sense.
Absolutely.
So what could districts do to better support teachers during this time?
I think the first step is districts recognizing that just like teachers, they don't have all the answers. And so making teachers a central part of any planning they're doing to create policies, to create schedules, to creating curriculum, so that we're all involved in that process. You know, teachers have such a wealth of institutional knowledge and history there. And so they can bring that to the table. They're at the ground level there. So making sure that teachers are a part of that process, and also that a wide variety or a wide kind of swath of parents and students are part of that process too, so that we, again, hear all the voices in our community and we're not making any assumptions or have any blind spots that we aren't addressing.
Ben Ballou is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Northwest Educational Service District 189. He teaches English at Arlington High School in the Arlington School District. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Megan Anderson Riley is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 105. She currently teaches Spanish at AC Davis High School in the Yakima School District. Megan, which accomplishment in the classroom are you most proud of?
You know, I've spent the past several years working with students who are brand new to studying in the United States and new to learning English. Part of my role is also to collaborate with mainstream teachers where these students were in throughout the day. And one day last February, right before we had the shutdown, you know, I had about 7 or 8 students run into my classroom right as the lunch bell rang, right as lunch was beginning. And they were so excited because they were telling me they had actually were able to communicate and interact with their other students in their classroom in English. And so, you know, I just felt like that was such an amazing accomplishment because, number one, I had this chance to be able to provide my students a classroom where it was a safe space for them to practice, gain confidence. And then also just that collaboration among colleagues in terms of finding strategies that would work and finding supports that would support all students in being able to become an active member of the classroom community and participate fully.
Oh, that is great. Do you have any tips and tricks that you do in order to create that safe space and to facilitate the learning like that?
You know, I work primarily with secondary students, and one thing secondary students love are games and activities. And so in this particular classroom, the teacher had done some activities that we had collaborated around in terms of getting students out of their seats and having to interview each other. And something that was really critical for these students who are brand new to learning English is he had put some sentence names and phrases on the board and gave students a chance to practice that ahead of time. And so it was really a great scaffold because, you know, it's a low effective environment. You're getting up and interacting with your classmates, doing an activity, and then you also have this additional support on the board. So, you know, it was great for their math, but also for their language and just their self-esteem. It was really fun to see.
That's fantastic. If you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, what would you change?
This is such a big question, you know, to have the power to do one thing in Washington State. I asked my students this question and a lot of my colleagues as well, just to think about what is it that really makes learning meaningful to them. And I think the clear thing that students and also colleagues responded was, number one, it's the teacher's ability to connect with their students, right? When a teacher's really teaching with the students instead of to them, that was really important. And the other thing that really came to the top was just this idea of relevance, that the learning is meaningful to the students' lives. They see the purpose to it. And so that makes me think, like, if I was to do one thing, I would make culturally and linguistic responsive teaching the norm. It's what we do. It's not this added training that we sometimes elect to go to, but it's just our standard of practice. And so, you know, really it would be about creating these systems and structures that would be culturally responsive from the state level to the district level to the building level to the classroom level. And that would really help inform, you know, how we're teaching, how we're interacting with our students, how we're interacting with our families, whose stories we're representing in our classroom, and how we're going about it. I feel like as a state, we have a unique opportunity because we've just changed language standards. We're moving from the ELPA 21 language standards to the WIDA standards this 2021-2022 school year. And really these WIDA standards are embedded into a culturally responsive framework. And so I feel like we have a unique opportunity to kind of recenter our instruction around culturally and linguistic responsive teaching practices.
Oh, that's really great. Now, I would imagine it would be harder to connect with students during this time of COVID. And I'm wondering, how has COVID impacted your teaching practice?
Yeah, well, I have learned a lot through COVID teaching practice. I have learned that there are a lot of great interactive technological tools that I can use and that my students really enjoy that make learning fun and interesting. And I've also learned that there's some ways that I can do more to give students freedom in terms of kind of self-pacing themselves. So students that want to move a little faster can move a little faster. Those that need more time can get more time. And so I've really appreciated that. And I hope I can take that with me into the future. One of the things I think that's really hard is it's really been difficult for the students that I work with. I start every class with a social emotional check-in, and this past week we just did one, you know, what fills you up, que te llena, and what drains you, que te drena. And I'd say 99% of my students said school drains them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that hadn't been part of my practice in the past. A lot of students I worked with found a lot of excitement and value in going to school and being there. It wasn't something they found draining. So that's been really challenging, is thinking about how to keep students motivated, how to have education still be something that, you know, fills them up, that they see value in these difficult times. Yeah. And I think, too, part of that is I'm at the secondary level, and a lot of students have their cameras off. So it's hard to read body language, right? And so trying to get that feedback from students about what's working, what's not working, are they engaged, are they bored, am I going too fast, am I going too slow? It's really challenging to do virtually.
Yeah. And to that end, do you have any advice that you could give to either educators or to parents during this time?
To educators, I think we need to have that collective mentality not to give up. There's so many amazing educators out there doing really great work and sharing that great work. And so finding those connections. I think also as educators, remembering that it's okay that we're learning friends still right now, you know, reach out to our students and get feedback from them. You know, that takes a lot of vulnerability to ask kids. But I think that their voice really matters, and that's going to help us be able to serve them better And to parents, I think, you know, number one, love your kids. It's really stressful right now. I know I've gone down the parenting route where I yelled at my kids and about trying to do more with school. That wasn't very effective, right?
Yeah.
But I think that as parents, what we can do is, you know, reach out to our teachers, reach out to our schools, and think creatively about what it is our students need and how we can help get them there. I think, again, you know, from the secondary perspective, we have a lot of students who currently are not on track to graduate because of the current situation. And it's going to take some real creative problem solving to be able to address the various needs of our students. And so I think families can help formulate that, and they should just feel empowered that their voice matters and their ideas matter. And so feel comfortable sharing that.
Megan Anderson Riley is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 105. She teaches Spanish at AC Davis High School in the Yakima School District. Megan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Devin Bauer is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Northeast Educational Service District 101. He is a special education department head and learning center teacher at Lakeside High School in the Nine Mile Falls School District. Devin, which accomplishment in the classroom are you most proud of?
Yeah, thanks for having me here. The accomplishment I'm most proud of is over the past 5 years, our special education team has really worked to build a more inclusive culture at our school, specifically with students with disabilities. We've done a lot of work around that. When doing research just recently, I think it's 2018, Washington State ranked 44th out of 50 in the nation for least restrictive environment. And currently at our high school, I was looking today, we're running about 80%. The state average is 56%. So I'm really proud of the work we've done there. Our school culture, you know, inclusion really isn't a curriculum. It's a culture, we say. Our student body, our teachers, everybody has adopted this choose to include culture, specifically with our students with disabilities. And they're in class, they're learning alongside their peers, they're succeeding, they're reaching high expectations. Their confidence is through the roof right now. So it's been an awesome change to see happen within our school.
That's fantastic. If you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, what would you change?
So something I'm passionate about, especially being in high school and working with students with disabilities, is that transition process to life after school. You know, oftentimes we think of K-12. In my world, I see there's a whole nother sector of this 18 to 21 year olds that extend on until they get to adulthood and they can access those adult agencies and things like that. To change, I think I'd really like to see a state change or a state focus or program that really helps those students and their families bridge that gap during that 18 to 21 year old age, where they can access agencies, do some work placements, learn some of those daily life skills, things like that. You know, I've seen some different programs around. I've talked to some colleagues, and we're trying to get something started in Spokane where we have a place where these students can go and really get that intensive, real focus on transition. I think it's a huge need in our state, and it's something worth a conversation around.
Yeah, absolutely. Because ideally, school is to prepare students for what happens after high school.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a difficult time for students and educators everywhere, but especially for students who are needing special education services. How has COVID impacted your work?
So my work, I think, looking at the whole school and everything, I think most people are missing those relationships. You know, I've heard some of my other colleagues talk that they haven't met their students and things like that. And I know another one talked about not having sporting events or clubs or activities. And it's those relationship pieces that I think that help educate the whole child that's tough to build right now. I don't want to say it's missing, because I know teachers across the state are working tirelessly to make those connections, to make those relationships. But it's something that we've really had to think outside the box on how we do it. And it's a really important piece all the way through schooling. So that's been the biggest impact I've seen.
And what could districts do better to support educators during this time?
I think districts need to continue to listen to teachers. We really need them to be problem solvers, to think outside the box, because we're living outside the box. It's not a typical school year. Listen to your teachers, listen to your families, and work to solve problems. Work together with your staff to solve the problems that we're all facing right now.
Devin Bauer is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Northeast Educational Service District 101. He's a special education department head and learning center teacher at Lakeside High School in the Nine Mile Falls School District. Devin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Shanoa Mahar is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 123. She teaches kindergarten at Sagecrest Elementary School in the Kennewick School District. Shanoa, what is your teaching philosophy?
Well, I know I wrote a teaching philosophy back in college, and that was a hot minute ago. So when I looked at this question, I thought about it, and I think my teaching philosophy has definitely changed over the past few years since I graduated from college. And it now revolves more around the environment I create in my classroom. I think it's all about the environment you create. So kids come to me with all kinds of different experiences, cultures, backgrounds, and skill sets. And I want to take all of those different gifts that they bring to my classroom and help each student work together and use those unique gifts and backgrounds to create a rich learning environment in our classroom community. And then I want to take that classroom community and create a safe, caring environment where they're not afraid to take risks, to ask questions, and just to be free with their learning. I want to make sure that I challenge each student to reach their highest learning potential. In kindergarten, I want to make sure that I provide lots and lots of social experiences, as well as hands-on learning experiences. I want to make sure that they engage in new understanding and rigorous tasks so that I can challenge them to meet their highest learning potential and inspire them to be the best learners that they can be. I want to involve administration and parents and the community to ensure a well-rounded educational support system for the kids in my class.
That's great. If you could travel back in time and you could give advice to yourself on your first day in the classroom, what would you say to yourself?
Oh, first I would tell myself not to be so nervous. Oh my goodness. It will happen. It will be amazing. And you will accomplish a lot. The second thing I would want to tell myself is don't sweat the small stuff. Everything changes in education. Nothing stays the same. We've experienced so many different curriculums, so many different shifts in everything, in testing. Since I've been a teacher, I hope I'm not going to age myself. We've done everything from the WASL. I gave the WASL when I taught third grade. And then I think it went to the MSP and now the SBAC. But I think they dropped the C now. And now it's just the SBA. And it changes all of the time. And if you get too caught up in those little tiny details, you will just become overwhelmed. And I think the last thing I would tell myself is just be true to yourself. Sometimes we get so involved in all of the trends in education and the new things that come about in education. And I think if I were to just stay true to myself, you need to be comfortable in your own shoes. And I think that is true in our personal lives. And I think that's also true in our professional lives. And if I could go back and tell myself that on my very first day of school, it would have made that long journey to getting where I am now maybe just a little bit shorter and easier.
I can certainly imagine that. Well, now is such a strange time with COVID. How has the pandemic impacted your work?
I'm a very inside-the-box teacher. Everything is color coordinated. My copies are sent down for the year. Everything is alphabetized. Everything is written out neatly in my lesson plans. COVID has thrown all of that out the window. We are in my district, we're back in hybrid learning. So I get half of my class on Monday and Tuesday. I get the other half of my class on Thursday and Friday. And when I first found out we were going back into hybrid, I was so excited. And then I panicked and I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to fit everything that's in my file cabinet for these kids in 2 days a week, because I'm very inside the box. When they first started coming back to school, I figured out there's no way that's going to happen. So I sorted through that neatly color coordinated file cabinet and figured out exactly what I could teach them in those 2 days, and then what I would have to send home to parents for them to do on those 3 days. And then when I actually got the kids, I figured out all that's going to go out the window anyway. There's so much more that the kids need now than is just in my neatly color-coded file cabinet. And I have learned to teach outside of my comfortable color-coded file cabinet box. They need so much more social, emotional, and hands-on, and things that are so different now. There's so many more teachable moments now that, not that there weren't before, but it's quite different now. They have taught me to teach outside of my box. And I think it's been wonderful. It's been a hard road, but it's been wonderful, a wonderful experience for me as a teacher that I think I will definitely take with me for years to come after this whole thing is over.
Yeah, that's great. So what can districts do to better support teachers at this time?
I would say if I could give any advice to my district, it would be to give teachers the gift of time. They're trying their best to work with teachers. I'm sure that maybe the more teacher input they could get, the better. But I think giving us the gift of time. Being in the hybrid model has been a challenge because policies seem to change sometimes every day, sometimes several times a day. The emails that come through, first we're supposed to do this, and then we're not supposed to do this, and then we're supposed to do it this way, and then, ooh, don't do it that way, let's do it another way. That has been a huge challenge for teachers to jump through all of those hoops that sometimes seem to change day to day and minute to minute. And if we could have a gift of time from the districts to get used to those different hoops that we have to jump through, and I know that may not be coming from the districts, but as much time as they could give us to implement those hoops that we have to jump through, I think that would make that transition to teachers and then to students that much easier.
Shanoa Mahar is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 123. She teaches kindergarten at Sagecrest Elementary School in the Kennewick School District. Shanoa, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
David Beitenveld is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Capital Region Educational Service District 113. He teaches mathematics at Nisqually Middle School in the North Thurston School District. David, what is your teaching philosophy?
My teaching philosophy kind of flows from what I've discovered about learning. And when I was much younger, one of my favorite movies was Camelot. And who knew that Professor Dumbledore was also King Arthur? In that movie, Merlin tells a young Arthur, the best thing when you're sad is to learn something. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but it did make learning seem magical. And I really want, as a teacher, I want that to be present for my students. Learning is magical and it's joyous and it's satisfying. So there's a piece of it. I also like the idea that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And over time, that made me think that if I'm just ready to learn, there are teachers all around me. You know, I think about how do I help my students become ready to learn? More recently, in fact, after becoming a teacher, I started to think maybe that phrase actually means when the student is ready, I'm the teacher. Not the teacher appears, but actually when I'm ready, I actually become the teacher. So we talk about in my class, you know, instead of thinking about learning something and getting ready for a test, could you learn something and get ready to teach it? Like that would really mean something. Finally, I like the phrase fail, fail again, fail better, which I get from Pema Chodron, although I think it's a Samuel Beckett quote. And not that I live my life in quotes, it's just that you find these phrases and they say it so much better than I could. But I like this idea that fail better is one of my favorite ideas. It seems like our culture often glorifies celebrity and vilifies failure. And so I really want my students to think about like failure is this critical teacher in our lives if we can just be open to it and learn from it.
Yeah, I like that. If you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, what would you change?
Right now, I would love to see our educational priorities revisited. I'm thinking, you know, just as an example, as a math teacher, pacing is sort of a de facto top priority. We have to get through all this material, cover everything in time for an end of year test. We're learning that this year pacing can take kind of a backseat to some other priorities. Maybe that was true the whole time. So it'd be interesting to really revisit, what do we care about? What does successful education look like? This year, gosh, helping our students learn how to learn independently seems way more important. Maybe that was really important all along. We just didn't notice it when they're in the classroom.
Independent learning is definitely front and center now during the time of COVID. How has that specifically impacted your work?
Well, I have a new position this year as a remote instructional coach. So my job literally is new because of school closure. What's different kind of in what I'm doing is I get to work a lot more with teachers and see different teaching styles and see how teachers are wrestling with virtual education. I also trying to see how students demonstrate their learning, formative assessment. I'll join a teacher in a virtual class and you're staring at a Zoom window full of cameras turned off. And it's really interesting to try to figure out who's paying attention. Do they grasp what we're trying to learn today? That's been a whole new world.
Well, I can't think of anybody better to give advice to educators and parents than someone who's a remote learning coach. What would you say to them?
I would say, I'm trying to help us be really mindful of what are all the things that are different this year that we might not have even thought of, many of which are barriers to learning. My wife, Dina, is a physical therapist, so I've had many years of bad posture being met with. That is a headache-making pose. And I know my students sitting at a desk have questionable posture. At home on a couch, hunched over a Chromebook, oh my gosh, like that is a headache-making pose. I think there are lots of these things that maybe aren't on our radar normally that ultimately are new barriers to learning. Communications is a big one. Students are in our classrooms. So how do they communicate with teachers, with other students? And I would say for some advice, gosh, figure out clear lines of communication. How do you communicate with your teacher? How do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Does your teacher have office hours? Can you take advantage of those? Like, what are these things that are new this year that, you know, we're not used to thinking about?
David Buitenveld is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Capital Region Educational Service District 113. He teaches mathematics and is a remote learning coach at Nisqually Middle School in the North Thurston School District. David, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Erin Lark is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 112. She teaches science and STEM at iTech Preparatory School in the Vancouver School District. Erin, what advice would you give yourself if you could travel back in time and talk to yourself on your first day in the classroom?
I think back on that day and I remember a sense of awe at all that was in front of me and all that would continue to be in front of me, and just complete deep reverence for the education that has happened in my life and the fact that I now got to play that role. And I think when we're in that position where we understand how important everything we do is every day, we start to think we have to have the right answers, because if we are going to get our students from A to B, if we are going to move ourselves in our career from A to B, we think we need answers. And so I'd go back and tell myself it's really about the questions, because when we get good and better at asking questions, it helps us go beyond our basic answers. The ways that I have seen education change just in my career, the ways I see it change just for one student in their time at our school, all come from when we ask more questions about what we can turn education into and how we can experience it differently and make those experiences for children. So I would like to challenge myself, my previous self, that, and my colleagues to start thinking about questions and what a difference that can make when we want to influence change, especially in times like now.
That's great. What is the passion or interest you had on day one that you make sure you still carry with you?
What's really important to me is that we have freedom to challenge the status quo. And by we, I mean our students, the staff that are working at schools, and the people that are working with schools to help make education something that's brighter for every student and reaches every student. If we can have that freedom to challenge, that's when we set ourselves up to innovate. It's really difficult to come up with innovations if you are constricted and confined to prior expectations or assumptions that need to happen. And so whenever we free that creative process, we're making things possible that weren't possible before. And so I really think it's about taking down boundaries, questioning boundaries. Are they in fact something we have to maintain? And who can we talk to about those boundaries? Because when we start to change what we assume as a barrier, that's the first step in taking down that brick wall that we have.
Yeah, and now is particularly difficult when you think about brick walls and boundaries because of COVID. How has the pandemic impacted your work?
You know, we have this idea of what schools are like, and then COVID happened, and we had to adapt very quickly to many different situations, and those situations differ across my city, across our state, across this whole globe. one of the things that's been a theme in there is how incredibly hard it's become to identify and rectify struggle. There are a lot of things that we were used to doing in place when we were in schools to identify students that were challenged by something and to provide those just-in-time interventions or to even preemptively plan for interventions and get an idea. I still have students I've never met or seen, and that breaks my heart every single day. And so when we're thinking about freedom to challenge, to change that status quo, I think we need to start with what it means to be a teacher, what it means to have an interaction and present opportunity for learning. Because when we do that, we are going to be able to identify challenges for individuals in ways that we were not doing well at in our prior models of schools, things where we assumed it was going okay, and now we know they weren't. And so when we challenge that idea of where school happens and how school happens, then we have to reach out differently. We have to keep trying because now we know that it's about that student in that moment. We have broken out of many of those structures. At the same time, we have to be aware that our communities had expectations from us that we would take their students and care for them and supervise them and cherish and teach them all day long so that they could go and give of themselves to their communities. And so when we have structures like this that are broken either by choice or because of the situation, we have an opportunity to do that innovation, to change and to grow. And so when I'm thinking about what this looks like, I think the first step is communication. We need to get truth. We need to make truth a safe thing for people to share. And then we need to be able to access that and have conversations. Increasing the ways that we communicate, such as using programs like Zoom or any other video check-ins or writing or making some physical means possible that are safe are allowing us to get in touch with families and check in on things like values and expectations and needs, being an audience. Because the more we listen and the more we work together, the more we find opportunity to create those new structures and to reach out to more students. Because we've already determined that we are an unstoppable force. And we will keep going until we get this right.
What could districts do to help you in this work?
I have a wonderful district that seeks to know the individual instructor, that seeks to know its staff. And really that value, that cultural influence is present in my organization. So for any district, I really suggest that knowing the strengths of the people that you work with that are supporting students will help you know how to leverage. Because again, you know, we have operated under systems where this teacher was with these children, then we got to the end of the year. Well, now we are finding ways to bring other teachers in and teach interdisciplinary classes or projects or lessons because we have some of those physical boundaries gone. So I think that when you know the strengths as a leadership model, you know, the strengths of the people working for you, then you can pair up those strengths and arrange those strengths differently to meet those needs, such as some of our struggling learners, and to reach students that we have yet to be able to reach.
Erin Lark is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from Educational Service District 112. She teaches science and STEM at iTech Preparatory School in the Vancouver School District. Erin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Jackie Henches is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from North Central Educational Service District 171. She teaches science at Brewster Middle School in the Brewster School District. Jackie, what advice would you give yourself if you could travel back in time and talk to yourself on your first day in the classroom?
Well, first of all, I'd say you're here for a reason. Don't forget that. Second of all, I would make sure to remind myself to keep things from being personal. It's not about you or it's not, you know, things kids say or things other people say. Stay the course. Don't let that mess you up. Listen carefully. You never know what you might learn. Get to know the students from day one and make sure to bring those things back up frequently when you are with those students one-on-one. If you're just passing them by, you know, they told you they have a dog and a cat, you know, ask them how their dog or cat is doing. Just keep that personal connection. Dry humor and sarcasm are out. Don't even bother with it. Like, even if you're an expert, forget about it. Move on.
That is great advice. What is the passion or interest you had on day one that you make sure you still carry with you?
From the very beginning, I wanted students to be thoughtful learners, communicators, and problem solvers. I still really value those things. I want my students to leave learning something, not just going for the grade, so that the journey leads to the destination, but without that journey, you can't get to the destination.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So how has the COVID pandemic impacted your work?
Well, I would say the pandemic has accelerated my learning in the areas of technology and figuring out how to do distance learning. For example, being able to juggle at-home students, AB students, and in-class only students all in the same classroom at the same time, and trying to make sure that all those learners have the opportunity to learn.
How do you do that? How do you juggle the in-person versus at-home students at the same time?
You do a lot of walking back and forth. I'd like to say running, but, you know, safety first. So checking in with them on Zoom, because I have students on Zoom, and then I have students in the classroom. So going into the breakout room and checking in, seeing what their work looks like, having them share their screen, things like that.
What advice would you give to parents and fellow educators during this time?
Well, first of all, for the parents, I would want them to know that we're in this together, that we know that they have a lot of going on. They have way more to juggle than they're normally having. To reach out to us if they have questions, not to just like be an island, to reach out to the teachers and find out, you know, what's going on if they have a question. And then ask their students, instead of saying at the dinner table or when they're there, you know, what did you learn today? Ask them, tell me one thing that you learned in math. Tell me one thing that you learned in PE, or teach me one thing that you learned today, or show me one thing that you learned today, so that they aren't just doing the, especially for middle schoolers, they're not just doing the nothing. I remember saying that a lot. How was your day? Fine. What did you learn? Nothing. We can't let them do that because of their situation. We've got to make the kids talk a little bit. And then what I would tell to my fellow educators is, thank you for giving your best every day. And a suggestion might be, find a victory every day and write it down, record it, type it out, whatever. And the next time you're feeling down or overwhelmed, read through your victory list. Just remember that you're appreciated, and just keep fighting.
Jackie Henches is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from North Central Educational Service District 171. She teaches science at Brewster Middle School in the Brewster School District. Jackie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
David Tracewell is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Olympic Region Educational Service District 114. He teaches English and Media Communications to students at Clahawia Secondary School in the Central Kitsap School District. David, if you could do one thing to improve teaching across Washington State, what would you change?
I would have a vibrant and consistent early reading program. Even though I teach high schoolers, I know that if they're at reading level by third grade, it's going to help them out for their future. As well as, if I had the power, I would give a $500 book credit to every new family so that the first thing a kid sees is a library of books in their home and not a TV or an iPhone or something like that.
That's great. Why do you think reading is so important?
It helps with all the other classes that they're going to have to face. I try to instill a passion for reading beyond school because, sadly, I know that a lot of people don't read after high school for pleasure or anything.
Is there something in particular that you like to read? Something that really instilled in you the love of learning?
I was first turned on to sci fantasy like Piers Anthony. And with my students in class, I get them hooked with comic books first. and then literature. You know, reading beyond high school, we're not doing enough of it. And so we believe anything we see now, which is really unfortunate, just because it looks legitimate on their feed or whatever, they think it's real. And it's just really unfortunate. So with like my media communications class, I show them fake articles and then we look at them just so that they can kind of sift through what is fake and what is not.
Yeah, that is so important, especially now in this era of fake news.
Right.
So what is the passion or interest that you had on day one that you make sure you still carry with you?
I really haven't changed. So I love books and literature. I love music and I love Star Wars. Those are my top three. And then with teaching, students are always my number one. And I know that it will be time for me to go when I don't have those butterflies in my stomach, just like the students do at the end of summer. The excitement of starting school again, being in the building and having that opportunity just work its way towards the end there and having that great release with the students before they go to break.
Yeah, and having that connection with students, I know that it must be hard in the time of COVID. How has the pandemic impacted your work?
It's double the amount of work without the rewards. And there's just little things that you take for granted because the electronic platform is great. There's no paper. But then sometimes it's like 11 clicks to get to one assignment for me to look at and respond to. And then just responding to so many emails where I could have probably just done like a 2-minute introduction to the assignment and then gone around and helped students. Now I got to individually respond to every one of them. And so the Google platform is awesome. The things that it can do, I just wish it was just a little bit more intuitive so that you didn't have to go through so many avenues to get to one assignment.
I believe that. Do you have any advice for educators and parents to get through this time?
Normally, I'm a very positive person. It's been very hard to be positive and trying to find the good out of this. I would just say that, you know, we're lucky to be alive and we're lucky that most of our society is still intact. I told my students this year right before Thanksgiving that what I'm most thankful for, besides my family, is the fact that I have students even in this environment. I still get to have my job. I still get to talk about books and literature, and I still have students. And what's interesting is I still made connections with them even through this format. During our Google Meets, when there are one students that are missing, you still feel that, which is really weird, even though I have not personally seen any of them, except for I ran to, I think, maybe 4 students in public, like at Target or whatever. The rest of the time, it's just all online.
Wow. What was it like running into a student at Target?
I was so excited. The student called me out, and I didn't recognize the student because they just have their little avatar, and they called me out. I was like, hey, and then I had to ask, you know, last name, and then boom, I know who it is, and then what class period, talk to the parents briefly and just thank them for helping the student through, and yeah, it was just weird. It's just weird.
David Tracewell is the 2021 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Olympic Region Educational Service District 114. He teaches English and Media Communications to students at Klahalia Secondary School in the Central Kitsap School District. David, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you would like to learn more about League of Education Voters or support our work, please visit our website, educationvoters.org.